everyone, and happy Father's Day to all of you fathers who are watching today. I was chatting with my dad a few days ago, and he said, "Christina, are you going to be sharing any embarrassing stories about me when you speak?" And so my gift to my dad today is that I will not be sharing any embarrassing stories about him. But we do have a great story today. Georgia and Jackson read it for us from John 3. And as you heard, our story has two characters. We have Jesus, who is this man who's been demonstrating to the world that he has these amazing powers given by God. He's going around, he's performing miracles, people are being healed. But he's also making these claims that he has the authority to do kind of crazy things like forgive sins. And then the second character is this man named Nicodemus, and what we're told about Nicodemus is that he's a Pharisee, he's a leader in the Jewish court, and so that tells us that, first of all, he's really important. He's also really smart. He studied the scripture, he studied the law, and he knows it really well, and he also follows it. So in our story, we have Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the middle of the night, which sounds like a little bit of a strange time to call upon somebody, but he comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, and whether that's because he wants to do it in secret, maybe he's afraid of what his other Pharisee friends are going to think, or honestly, maybe he was just really busy during the day, and so at night was the only time he could actually come and see Jesus. But whatever the case may be, he comes to Jesus and he says, "Hey, I've been watching you, and I've noticed that there's something different about you. You're going around and people are being healed and demons are being cast out. And there's just no way that that can happen apart from God. I see that you have been sent by God." And a normal person would probably respond to that by saying, "Yep, you're right. Thank you for noticing that, important man. I have been sent by God." But as we know, Jesus is not a normal person. And so he doesn't respond to what Nicodemus has said. He actually responds to Nicodemus' need. He responds to the thing that Nicodemus really needs to be hearing in that moment. And so Jesus leans in and he says, "What I'm about to tell you is true. No one can see God's kingdom unless they are born again." And that is a weird thing to say. Maybe you've heard that phrase many times, and so the absurdity of it has kind of worn off on you, but that's really weird to say, because Jesus is telling Nicodemus that if anyone wants to be a part of the kingdom that God is bringing, that Jesus is bringing, they have to do something that they literally have no control over. Right? Think about it. Raise your hand if you chose to be born. Now, obviously, I can't see your hands, but I can guarantee that there are some kids out there who raise their hands because they're being silly. But I can also guarantee you that none of you chose to be born. It's something that is completely out of our control. And yet, Jesus is here saying that the thing that you don't have any say in, yeah, you need to do that again. What? And that's what Nicodemus's response is. He says, "How can someone be born again when they are old? They can't go back inside their mother. They can't be born a second time." And so maybe Nicodemus is going like, "What was I thinking? Why did I come to this crazy man?" But Jesus repeats his statement. He says, "No, Nicodemus, what I am telling you is true. No one can enter God's kingdom unless they are born with water and the Holy Spirit." And so he added a little bit there. And he continues. He says, "People give birth to people, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And so Jesus is making it clear here that he's not talking about physical birth. He's talking about spiritual birth. Like a mom will give birth to a new baby, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives birth to spirit, to a new spirit. And so Jesus says, "This isn't that weird. You should not be surprised when I say you must all be born again. The wind blows where it wants to. You hear the sounds it makes, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. It is the same with everyone who is born with the Spirit. And so we're reading that the thing that Nicodemus needed to hear most in this moment was that he needed a brand new life. And that seems like a pretty harsh statement from Jesus, right? It's not that he needed a little bit of tweaking. No, he needed a brand new life. What you've been doing, not working. Start over. You need a brand new life. And this life has to be different. This life needs a new source. Yes, you have a mom and dad who brought you into this physical world, but you need something else. You need a new source, a new spirit to bring you into this new world, into a new kingdom that Jesus is bringing. So to understand this new source, in verse 5 we had read that Jesus said, in order to be a part of this kingdom, we need to be born of water and the Holy Spirit. And so what does that mean? And we know that Nicodemus is a really smart man. He would have studied the scripture. And so when Jesus said this, there's a good chance that his mind went back to the Old Testament, the scripture that he had, to the book of Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he speaks God's words, the things that God is saying about what is going to happen in the future. And so Ezekiel 35, 25 to 26 says, I, and that's God speaking, I will sprinkle pure water on you. Then you will be clean. I will take all the statues of your gods away from you. I will give you new hearts. I will give you a new spirit that is faithful to me. I will remove your stubborn hearts from you. I will give you hearts that obey me. And so as Nicodemus recalls this, as we read this, we recognize that this was God's plan all along. Hundreds of years before Nicodemus was ever born, God spoke these words through Ezekiel that he was going to come and give people a new source for life, a new spirit, a new heart that was going to be clean and soft and follow God's direction. And so the time has come for Nicodemus. The time had come, and these things that he knew that Ezekiel had said, those things were now happening, and God was inviting him to like hit that restart button and to find a new source for life in his spirit. And we can see in Ezekiel, this is nothing to do with what humans can do. God over and over and over again says, I will do this. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you a new source for life. This is a free gift that God is giving. And to understand just how incredible this gift is, I think we need to go to Romans 8, which just gives me a wonderful picture of what this free restart, free gift of new life looks like. And so Romans 8, 14, starting in verse 14, says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, so those who have been given by the Spirit of God a new life, they are children of God. And so that means that this gift, this new birth, this new source, allows us not to just come into new life in a new world, but it births us into a new family. We are now part of the family of God. We are children of God. And continuing through Romans, it says, the Spirit you received, it doesn't make you slaves, otherwise you would live in fear again. Instead, the Holy Spirit you received made you God's adopted child. And by the Spirit's power, we call God Abba, and Abba means Father. The Spirit himself joins with our spirit, and together they tell us that we are children of God. And so the harsh words of, you need to be born again, we recognize that, no, that wasn't judgment on the life that Nicodemus had been living. This was actually an invitation to something so much greater. It was an invitation into a relationship, a father-child relationship with the God who created him, the God who created Nicodemus and who created us. And so for me, this image of God being our father, it just opens up my mind to understand better my God, and also this relationship that we can have with him when we accept this new source of life and enter into this new family. And we all have different experiences with our fathers, but my dad owns a small construction business, and before university and during university, I worked for him. And he's a very kind and generous boss to all his employees, but I realize that there are definitely some perks to being the boss's daughter. So first of all, I got to drive his truck. I also got to pay a ticket when I sped in his truck. I got to walk into my boss's house and take food from the fridge, and I wasn't accused of stealing. And when I called my dad on his cell phone, the ID would say, favorite employee. I was very special. But I think the greatest thing I learned when I was working for my dad was that his joy, his delight in me working for him, his love, his generosity, it had very little to do with what I was producing or my work. It all had to do with the simple fact that I was his daughter, that I'm his family. And I didn't choose to be his daughter, but because I am part of this family, it gives me the right to be the recipient of his love and his generosity, and it gives me the right to be set apart from the rest of his employees. And you know what, that's my earthly father. You know, how much more do we receive from our heavenly father? You know, the gift of being part of the family of God means that, you know, our identity and our purpose, our value, it's not found in the things we do or what we can produce. It's not found in how well we can follow the rules. It's simply found in being a child of God, being born of the Spirit into the family of God, and finding our source for life in the Spirit. And so then the question is, how? How does something so incredible, how does that become possible for us? Because we know that being born is something completely out of our control. So that sounds great, but how does this work? And you know what? Luckily, that's the very question that Nicodemus asked Jesus. Nicodemus, in verse 9 of John 3, says, how can this be? And Jesus gives him a bit of a hard time. He says, you are Israel's teacher. Don't you understand these things? You see, all of Scripture, everything that Nicodemus had been studying, everything that he had been teaching, all of it had been pointing to this moment. So Jesus is saying, how can you have studied this? How can you have been teaching this and not recognize God's plan to rescue his people? To rescue his people from this world of sin and death, rescue his people from living in fear as slaves to sin? No, this was part of God's plan since the beginning. So Jesus continues, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven. He is the Son of Man. Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. In the same way, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. Then everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And so Jesus there begins talking about himself, the Son of Man who came from heaven. And you'll notice he refers to a story that we find in the book of Numbers. And the story is of God's chosen people, the Israelites. They're wandering through the desert, and they begin complaining to God. And so God sends these poisonous snakes that when they bite people, many die. And so the Israelites, they cry out to God, and God says to Moses, hey, what you need to do is create a snake and put it on a rod on a pole and lift it up. And so Moses, he makes a snake out of bronze, and he puts it on a pole, and he lifts it up. And then this miracle happens where all of those who have been bitten, if they just turn and look at the snake, they live. And so Jesus is saying, hey, just like that story, the Son of Man will be lifted. And we today, we know something that Nicodemus didn't know in that moment, because we know that Jesus was lifted. He was literally lifted. He was nailed to a cross, and he was lifted. And then he died, and he rose again. And then later, he ascended. He was lifted into the clouds to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was the one who was lifted. And just like those people who looked to the bronze snake and were given life, so it is with everyone who looks to Jesus, the lifted, the one who is lifted up. Those people will be given life as well. So that is the how. That is how we can receive this new spirit, this new life. And you know what? If that is not clear enough, following this interaction, we actually read the most famous gospel summary in John 3:16 and 17. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Anyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. He sent his Son to save the world through him. And so we read that God loved us so much that he willingly sent Jesus. And Jesus died in order that we may be given new life, life that comes from the Spirit, life that is eternal, life that offers us freedom from sin and death, that welcomes us into the family of God. And you know what? Just like our natural birth here on earth, this is something we have no control over. It's already been done. And so the choice we get to make is whether or not we're going to accept Jesus for who he said he was. That he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. In John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, it says that he, being Jesus, came to what was his own. He came to the world that he created. But his own people did not accept him. Some people, though, some people did accept him and did believe in his name, and he gave them the right to become children of God. To be a child of God has nothing to do with human parents. Children of God are not born because of human choice or because a husband wants them to be born. They're born because of what God does. And that is the message that Nicodemus needed to hear. That it has nothing to do with him. That he needed new life in the Spirit. New life that was offered not because of any of the things that he had done or how hard he had worked or how good he was, but life that was given because Jesus was raised from the dead. Because Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for us. And so what does that mean for you today? If you're listening and you recognize that, like Nicodemus, you just need a restart. You need new life, a new source. I urge you to take that step today. To look to the one who is lifted. To look to Jesus, to accept him. and then accept this right that is being offered to you to become a child of God. If you're listening today, and you know what? You have that new spirit. You are a child of God. First of all, I encourage you to just recognize again how incredible that free gift is. Worship your Father today on Father's Day. And then be led by that spirit that is within you. Consider maybe today how you've been forfeiting what is rightfully yours as children of God. Choose again today to set your mind on the things that the Spirit desires, and then live, truly live in the new life that God has given you. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, we are so grateful that you have done everything that needs to be done for us to be your children, to be invited into a new life, a new kingdom, a new family. Oh, God, we are so undeserving. We had hearts that were against you, hearts that were hard, and you chose to come and give us soft hearts, hearts that would be obedient to you, that would love you. God, we are undeserving of this gift, but you have given it freely. So today, God, we want to be following your leading. We want to be following the Spirit that you have so generously given to us. So God, I pray that you will be doing that through us today, that we will be truly living in this new way, that we won't be stuck in the guilt, the shame of sin, that we won't be slaves anymore to that, but that we will be able to enter into this new life that has been freely given to us. We praise you for all you have done and the way that you continue to work through us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.